Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, for this time. Thank you, Father, that you, Lord, are in charge of this place. I dedicate my mind, my lips, and my tongue, and my voice box to you, Lord. Everything that comes out from my mouth, let it be, Lord, to glorify you and only to you, Lord Jesus. I just want to thank you for this moment. I pray, Father God, every heart that hears today, let it be, Lord, fertile ground, that the seed that's planted today will be very fertile and it grow, Father God, and the seed will grow, Father, and, Lord, be convicted by your Spirit. And, Lord, I pray, Father, they'll grow mightily in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Today is a day where we should read more of the last days of what's coming in the last days. But let's see what God has got to speak to us today. Amen. I want to read something before I go on to my message. Don't worry, my message will be short. Okay. I want to turn to Matthew. Matthew has got a different way of saying it, and I just want you to see and read together. Follow, okay? Follow with me. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 onwards. It's important what I'm going to read will have an effect in our lives. Amen? And what's happening in the political situation, what's happening to our lives, daily lives. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath was the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead man. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, the sum of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until today. Amen. Why I read this passage today? Brothers and sisters, the reason being is, even the church sometimes becomes adulterated with so many things. See, the guards were there to secure the place and to see nothing happens. They even saw an earthquake. They saw the things that was happening at that point of time, and that Jesus Christ was risen. They saw it. They fell like dead, they said. The word of God, they fell like dead. It's a confession of the guards. And now when the guards were able to come and report, they are willing to compromise for the truth and take money for that mammon. So many a times we must secure our church from not being adulterated or in being open to things which is not right in the kingdom of God. Speaking about the righteousness of kingdom of God, If you look at the word Easter, why is that I don't allow the word Easter in this church to be practiced? It's because the word Easter did not come from in the Bible. It is not mentioned anywhere Easter. Were the apostles at the time celebrating Easter at that time? No, there was no Easter at all. Where did Easter come from? It's the corruption of our own system, the system that Jesus Christ has laid, and he said the truth shall prevail. But people started adopting to the things of the world, and they brought in things of the world. There is one saying that Anglo-Saxon word Estor, which is the one of those goddess they believed in at the time. I'm reading from the research I've done, some of it. How did it come? Because I was not there. How it came. But I've done research, and I see it's about 14 pages here. It talks about only on Easter alone, from one writer and research done by them. And it gives a lot of things that shows that our churches at an early time, in the first century, second century, third century after Christ, was not adulterated. It's later on they adopted the things of the world. Why? Where did the bunny come from? Jesus did not rise on bunny day. Where did the egg come from? It came from chicken. It can also come from a snake. Right? It also can come from a snake. So egg, chicken, and cross buns are not the ones which was right. If you go back and read, I can give you this text. You know, it's a long text. If you want, I can give it to you. You can go and do research. I can give you the site also, you can see. And everything you click, it will link to something which will show you where did the cross bun come from. Where did this Easter egg come from? Where did this bunny come from? Because it's all about one person. It's whether they use the name of Estor or another name they use here. It all goes back to the goddess of fertility. It happened that during the time of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, it was after the Passover. The Passover, the high Passover, you'll find the other day when we read in Matthew, or rather even read in most all the Gospels, you'll find it says, inverted, it always a dot, and says, it's a high Passover. What is the high Passover? Normally the Passover, the Sabbath, this Sabbath is actually supposed to be a high Sabbath. Let me say, that was the day anointed of the Nisan, of the 14th day of Nisan, that they have this celebration of Passover in the Jewish calendar. It happens that on the time, the same time, the goddess of fertility, the pagans used to have the same thing. I can give you a lot of reference to that. So we will divert away from our thing. The reason why I read this now is we should not let the corruption of the world into come into us. Amen? Let's not adopt the management of the world into the church. The church should be led by the Spirit of God. The administrator of a church is the Spirit of God. We abide by the Spirit. And we can see what is right and what is wrong. And Lord assured me that, James, whatever this comes to church, I've given this place to you, and whatever comes to this church, I will open your eyes to show you the hearts of man and woman. And I know it's happening. I was disappointed, as I said the other day, that, you know, how come this demon talking to me nicely, and the other hand went up and showed me the third finger. I was disappointed. And I couldn't do anything. It's a hospital. But the next bed is somebody sitting. And this side is somebody else's side. Otherwise, I already got the flow out from there. And I know my Lord will do it. With all the authority he has given to me. You have done it so many times. And I was disappointed. And I said, Lord, why didn't this happen the other day? And I went to Penang. We did not compromise to the things which was offered to us. There were many demons fleeing away as we prayed. Amen? Not even coming near, they were already fleeing away. Because that's the power of God. What God promises, God will do. God is not a God who lies. So let's not adopt the things of the world. So the world, fertility, and why the bunny? It's because you'll see bunny does not give birth to one. How many does it give birth to one time? I don't know how many. I don't have a bunny in my house. So we do not know how many give birth. It's fertility. You go back and read. How did the cross bun come from? We sing it innocently, but it also to the goddess it was for. Right? I will expose this to you. You can have it, and you can have copies of this if you want to. You can go back and read, or go to the site and give it to you. You can read it, and you will understand more and more. That's the reason why we don't adapt it. But what are the feasts at the time the apostles kept? Let's read about the feast that the apostles kept. There were seven feasts that we were supposed to keep. The Christians at the time, the Jews, you remember, the Jews were supposed to keep seven feasts. If you go back and see in the Old Testament, you'll find that it's seven feasts he must keep. One of the first skips we must keep is one is Passover. Passover in the Old Testament signifies that we are the one which the people were delivered, the promised people, the people chosen were delivered from Egypt. That's Passover. In the present days, what does Passover mean to us? Let's not take the Old Testament Passover. Let's see Jesus Christ Passover now. What does it Passover? Passover speaks of Christ's sacrifice for you and me. The present Passover sacrifice that Jesus did for you and me. You and I are delivered from sin, death, hell, and the power of devil. See, sin, death, hell, and also the power of devil, which we don't recognize. Many of us don't recognize. See, every time, there are a lot of things follows us sometimes, and we don't understand. Things happen without our knowledge. We don't understand. Right? The sister who came here to Malaysia about 2 years ago and together with us, she went through, I introduced her to Sister Jay, and she went through to understand the mythology or the word used jinn in certain religion in this nation and other nations. And we can see it. If you're really, the Lord has opened the eyes, can see it. These things around us makes things happen against us. But Jesus says here that it is the Passover that made us higher than anything. He has given us authority over them. Amen? Not only our sins and death and all those things, but power of the devil has been crushed. These blessings are ours, yours and mine, and believing that Christ is your Passover and my Passover lamb. Once we believe that it's your Passover lamb and my Passover lamb, we know we are able to grasp this, what he said just now. Remember, he said that, go and tell my brethren, I'm going to your father and my father. Amen? So we must not be a person who's sitting down and say, no, I can't do this and not. But no, Passover was one of the rituals, one of the feasts they have to keep. It was promised the time of Moses' time, and it was all the time kept over. This high Sabbath is very important. We don't have to go and do all those things we have done before. But it is high important for us, because every time Passover is the time that Jesus Christ is done it. You'll always read the scriptures carefully, you'll find the day before Passover. When was he caught? So was he on Thursday night, as traditionally people think? And if you go to Jerusalem, for him to walk from this place, to bring him here, bring him there, scourge him and do all those things, and going through all the tunnels or whatever he went through, I tell you, he would have been caught on Tuesday night or Wednesday. Right? They have enough time for him to do all those things. Bring him here, bring him there, putting him to Pilate and bring him this side. All this was happening, and also the people were mocking him, the soldiers were mocking, cannot be done within a few hours. So a lot of things has been indulterated into our church system. So it's not the right day. The Passover day is actually on a Sabbath, that is on a Friday. It was a high Passover. So it was before that he was preparing his Passover meal. You and I cannot have salvation through our own works and our religiosity and rituals. But it's through his personal experience with him as a Passover. Second feast we are supposed to keep is supposed to be the unleavened bread. Unleavened bread speaks about our bearing of our old self-centered attitudes. Unleavened bread, in present day, the old day unleavened bread is different. But today, after Christ, our unleavened bread is that our old self-attitude, our self-centeredness will be buried. And we'll live in Christ and putting us malice and wickedness out of our lives. And we have purged our lives, you know, with all these things. And now we see Christ's life in us. That's what he called unleavened for a present day feast. Now today, as you see, it's supposed to be the first fruits feast. Feast of the first fruits. The day when the Passover after that is the first fruit feast. Who was the first fruit for the entire kingdom of God? Jesus Christ. We are all the back. All the others are behind. Jesus is the first fruit of all of us. So when we speak about first fruits, Jesus is the first one who rose up from the dead. Amen. Praise God. So, resurrection life of Jesus Christ talks about the first fruits. So, he is the one who's... What is the... As a Christian, do we exhibit the love of community for our brothers and sisters as a first fruit? Question, right? So, the other one, with the fourth thing that we have to keep, the feast we have to keep was Pentecost. Pentecost speaks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Old Testament Pentecost was a day they prayed together. It's a season, but the Pentecost season, now it's for us as a new believer, a believer in Christ, is supposed to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are many churches who keep the baptism of the Holy Spirit away. The Holy Spirit cannot inspire man if it does not invite him into him. All the scripture was written with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I like Paul very much, you know. He writes, this is not of the Holy Spirit, but my own thoughts. He divides, you know, he says, and it comes to his mind, he says, this is not of the Holy Spirit. This is what I feel, level-headedly. Otherwise, he says, this from the Holy Spirit. Right? So Paul is a man, we can get from him, we can learn from him, that we can be in the Holy Spirit, we can also be in our own stature of logical thinking and wisdom. Amen? So Pentecost is a day where we fear, the fear of death is taken away because we no longer have the fear of death. And we know that Pentecost with the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus said, I will go first and I will send you the Comforter. You will not be alone. So until the last days, this Holy Spirit will be with us. Those who adhere to Him, open is your heart to Him. And today the Holy Spirit will reign in us, all for the kingdom of God. And I pray the kingdom of God in Malaysia is going to come mightily. Harvesters are going to come. And the harvest is going to be plenty. Are you ready? Amen. So God will release you all to do things which way you are able to do. So the spirits of God, the spirit of God, the Pentecostal day allows us. Why did all the apostles at the time were martyred? Many of them were martyred. They didn't have the fear because the spirit of God, which came upon them, was able to overcome the fear of martyrdom. Right? When we talk about some people who talk about jihad and says, this is of God, but that's not the one to kill another man, but you will be out of love. You will be killed. Doesn't matter. But the spoken word will be out. You've seen James. James in the Old Testament. Before James was who? Stephen. Then after that came all the apostles and many others who were martyred. But the fear in them. And I like Stephen when he said no. When he looked up, he was tied up and the fire was going to come down. He looked at it. He saw the glory of God. Can you just imagine how beautiful he was describing the glory of God? And how he saw the angels at the time. So that fear is taken away. The Pentecost must be part of our lives. That is Pentecost. Without Pentecost, the triune God you cannot recognize. Amen? Triune God. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us, empowers us to do all the gifts that He gives us to empower us. You want deliverance, you want to do anything else. It's the Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit of the same Spirit in Jesus Christ is in us that delivers us, brings us to higher grades, to bring give all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they must bear fruits. Right? The 9 gifts must also bear fruits. So we must be a fruiting tree. Is that right? We must be the fruiting tree. Now, the other one which is given to us is, the fifth feast He has given to us is the Feast of Trumpets. I've not got to my message yet, okay? Feast of Trumpets. I'm just explaining to you so that you will understand. Because people, He says in Hosea, my people are dying because of lack of knowledge. It's okay for me to speak and give my message a little bit shorter, but I want you to understand this. So people will come and tell you, you must do this, you must do this. There is no rituality. In Christ, there is no rituality. Amen? So I want you to understand that. Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets is a strong prophetic anointing available to all of us. Can I repeat that again? It's a strong prophetic anointing available to all of us. What does the trumpet make noise? Isn't that right? A trumpet is blown, makes noise. Would you like to become the trumpet for God? Would you like to blow that horn and tell the people, warn the people, and tell the people of what God is doing and the new good news of God? Are we willing to be the prophet outside there to blow the trumpet? Brother just now blow the shofar. A trumpet is different. A trumpet is to make sure, bop, 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 bop. So people will understand there's something happening here and we must be the trumpet, the loud voice. in this church, there was a prophecy given to one girl, and that girl is not here now in Cebu now. She said, you'll be a trumpet for all the things. Now I know why she'll be a trumpet. She's short, but she'll be a trumpet. I know that for sure. You know, because when I went there in Cebu, I saw how she manages herself. Right? So good. And I pray she'll speak about God every time, wherever she goes. She becomes a trumpet for Cebu now. Amen? So trumpet, are we willing to be the trumpet? A trumpet today, Feast of Trumpets, is not supposed to be the one, the old way Testament of Trumpets. But trumpets today is about us being the trumpets for God, our Christ. Amen? And trumpets will bear the fruits. Trumpets will bear the fruits. Those people who have blown the trumpet, those who go out and speak the gospel out, they will be bearing fruits because the Spirit of God will enable you to do the things that God wants you to do deliverance, to do healing, to do anything, so that signs and wonders will follow you, so that you will be able to and bring in more harvest into the kingdom of God. Amen? Everything is given, and the gift is given not for nothing, but for something. It's not for self-glory, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God, for the equipping of the saints, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise God. So God has given this. The present day, the sixth feast that we are supposed to keep, which the apostles kept, was the Feast of Atonement. Feast of Atonement speaks of victorious living in through deep soul searching. Day of Atonement is not, they will cry and all those things, you know. Those soul searching, we are supposed to search our soul. Are we living the right way? We are checking ourselves. This is a, you know, in the management world, they all say, check before all the things. See whether counter everything before you pass up everything else. Right? You always cross-check. So you check yourself before being judged. We judge others, but we don't judge ourselves. Right? So Day of Atonement is deep soul searching inside of us. Is my motive right in church? Am I right Christian, first of all? Am I allowing bribery to come into my life? Am I allowing things that is coming into my life? Am I allowing things that is not right of God? Have I absconded somebody? Soul searching. So when we do soul searching, we start purging. Amen? We start purging. And God likes that very much. God loves that very much. You can see Psalm 51, David, when he wrote, he purged himself. See, the way he's written, you know, the bowel movement, that I should say, it's when he says purging means it's not a movement, the Holy Spirit movement is not just like you're feeling like that. You must, compassionate feeling is going around your tummy as if you're about to run to the toilet. That's kind of feeling you must have. Even if you go and sit in the toilet, nothing will come out. But that's what the feeling of the Holy Spirit inside. In other words, you feel convicted inside. Amen? So the last one, Tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles. What is Feast of Tabernacles supposed to be? Target of inheriting, harvesting. Inherent harvesting. We must start harvesting. We must bring in the Feast of Tabernacles. We went recently to a place where, in Holy Land, and we went during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's supposed to be harvesting. It's not about the small huts they put outside and they leave it outside when they have a new beautiful bungalow inside. Air conditioned. They sit outside and they have their meals together, they live together for 3 days there. The whole season of the thing. Why? It's the discomfort of us during harvesting. Harvesting is very uncomfortable for us. When we go and speak the word of God and bring the harvest, it's very uncomfortable. Harvesters, when they go out, they harvest the paddy or harvest whatever corns or anything else, wheat. You harvest the time. During the time of harvest, it's uneasy. Right? Nobody goes there very easy to harvest. No. There is uneasiness because there's a lot of things. There's a lot of dust coming up. There's a lot of things moving around. Some of you have got problems with the sinus. You'll start hachum, hachum all the way. It's uneasiness. And there's no air condition there. There's no fan. But anyway, in the present day, in modern tents I see in Israel, is more of a, they've got not air conditioned, they've got a fan at least. Originally, there was no fan. Nothing. So harvesting is very uncomfortable for us. So the Feast of Tabernacle is to bring in harvest for God, the kingdom of God. That's what we are supposed to do for the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise God. Can I start with my message? Praise God. Amen. I hope it is informative. I hope you'll take it home, and I hope you'll ponder about it. If you want, I'll give it to you, that one. It's nothing, it's not mine. Right? It's not mine. It's for Kingdom of God. I can photocopy it and give it to you all if you want to. Now I want you to turn to, I like this man Job. The theme of my message today is, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. Job was a man who went through so much of trouble. But in the chapter 19, you'll find that his trust on the Lord is so great. And verse 25, he says, my Redeemer, for I know that my Redeemer lives, for shall stand, for he shall stand at last on the earth. Let's take the first part of it, A. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Something about this man, he's going through troubled times, he's lost everything in his life, and he says something prophetically, and he says, I trust in my God, my Redeemer lives. The entire whole chapters of Job is focused on this. His life is on this. His live wire is on this verse alone. My Redeemer lives. Number one, he made his Redeemer his personal Redeemer. He says, mine. He took pride in that mine. How many of you, brothers and sisters, you have got, no, when he, I like to sometimes know, hear somewhat the people gossip. When you go down, you'll see a group of ladies talking. And then after he says, you know, my son, he finished his doctorate. He's gone up now. He's studying for his master's, his specialist course. The other lady will be looking for a while. Then another one will be looking. Then the other one will tell him, you know what? My son, finished, what is that? The calculation one. What is that? A calculation? Mathematics. No, more than that. No, the insurance company use one. Actual science. It takes so many years. What do you do? They take pride on their son. It's my son, my daughter, my husband. Oh, my husband. You know what? Yo, he's 5 companies director. Yours, how many? Out of which 3 is his personal, 70% he owns now. Mine. He takes pride. Job had that same attitude in his heart. He says, it is my personal Redeemer. It's mine. I take pride in it. Nobody can steal it away from me. It's mine. It's mine alone. There was a personal touch within him and God. He has not seen this God. He has not seen this prophetic word that he released that day, that the Redeemer will come, and he will come and release all of us today. He did not have the opportunity to see, but he called himself mine. It's my Redeemer. He lives. We have the privilege today, brothers and sisters. We get to come to church. We have the opportunity to come to church. He didn't have the opportunity to go to church. God allowed Satan to deal with him, though he was a righteous man. And even then, he says, this is my Redeemer who lives. He made his Redeemer a personal person inside his heart, inside his soul, inside his mind, inside his spirit. Brothers and sisters, where do we stand today with our Redeemer? I believe my Redeemer, who visited me last night in my dream, is my Redeemer. Is it your Redeemer? Is it so close to you? Is it that you feel that you don't want to let go? This is something more than my husband, more than my wife, more than my children. This is my Redeemer, because he's the one, because of him, I have all this. It's because of him today I can sit in a air-conditioned room and sit here in this nation and have a church, good church, where there is somebody else outside there without air condition, without nothing, without a seat, sitting on the floor and hearing a message. It's my Redeemer who allowed me to be in this nation, in this place, in this country, and this state, and this church, and to be in that family. It's my Redeemer. I love my parents so much. My parents... Somebody say, no, my father, this law. Are you? I remember this law very, very well. My father was a farmer, and he was not a great job. He used to early morning get up at 5 o'clock. I remember he gets up 4 o'clock something. He must go in, do the attendance at 5 o'clock in the morning. He was a laborer with the municipality, and he has got to sweep the roads. Certain roads he's given in the Alugaja. He will have to go to the, you know, Sochinan, right? How many of you know Sochinan? Sochinan, Sochinle, the footballers. Their shop is on the first road. You have to go. My father has got to do that, and the police station will come out. So the other guys will say, my father is the HA, la, here, la, all those things. I don't know what to say, you know how arrogant I was when I was young. A big fighter. So I will say, hello, if my father does not clean anything here, you cannot walk on the road, you know. You can be doctor, you can be HA, la. If your father the day is very clean, he will take the car and the motorcycle, go the other way around, no. My father has to do the first thing first. Other than only then you can go out. Who's better? Right? So I find pride in my father for what he was doing. Right? So many of us parents, children also want to see the pride of the father. The father, what they do. Our Savior is greater than that. That he has placed me in that family, with that father, with that mother, that I can feel the presence of love in them. They can be whatever they are, still find the presence. I met one man. He was finding it difficult to tell where his father was. Father was a good man. Situations did not work out very well. But he went to prison for some breach of trust. He didn't know how to say it. And I told him this. Whatever it is, your father is a pride for you. The situation you go through now is less. But it's a pride for you. It's a personal to you. It's a personal relationship. Amen? So our relationship with our Redeemer is personal because he, this man, Job, even in the times of difficulty, everything is lost. And to say that my Redeemer lives, it made him personal to him. Number two, I see that this man, he had not only seen that Redeemer, he had a picture of his Redeemer that is not only personal. He knows his Redeemer will be a person who is stronger to come and deliver. He was in a situation of hopelessness. No man can ever help him. He was the richest man in that place. He had everything. Now he is lost. He has been a good person to the king. He has been a good person to the controller, the governor in that area probably. He has been a good person to even the policemen that are around that area at the time. He could have been a generous person donating to people around there. In a time like this, he cannot say, my prime minister is the best prime minister. How many of you take pride like that? Wow, I see many of you like him very much. I'm happy. I am glad for you. So Rani says, the king is the best person for me. He's taking my right things out. He's championing my rights. How many of you can say it in our country now? But he knows only one person. My Redeemer is strong. My Redeemer is strong. My Redeemer is powerful. He's more powerful than my riches, my wealth. He's more powerful than my king. He's more powerful than the people around whom I have given donations. And he's more powerful than the policeman in that area. He's more powerful than every other person in the state. He was looking for a person who's stronger than anybody else. In a situation like that, where he is now, he's sitting down and scraping his skin, and his wife says, oh, you better die, better to die, better to die. Wife tell you, better to die than to live around. You hopeless man, stinking man. And he's looking for somebody who's stronger. He's looking for somebody who's really stronger. And he found that Redeemer in Christ Jesus. He didn't experience him, but he know that this Christ Redeemer will be there for him. Amen. He was looking for one more person who will come and say, I am your champion. I am doing everything for you. I will come up above everything else and take care of you. Because I've gone over through everything else. A king has not gone through what he is going through. A prime minister has not gone through what he has gone through. Or what he's going through. Anybody else has lost anything? No. He knows one person. That Redeemer of his will lose anything for his sake. Amen. Will lose anything for his sake. He had a picture that he will give up his own life. He will do anything for this man, Job. How many of us have that heart of our Redeemer. That he gave up everything. That he gave up everything, his glory in heaven, came down as man and died for you and me. And after that, now he's crucified. And after crucifixion, he rises again. And how many of them wants to be a friend of his? Is that your Redeemer? How do you picture your Redeemer to be today? How do you want your Redeemer to be in your personal, to your life? It's important. That will mark, that will create a benchmark for you, the relationship that you have with him and you. Amen? And you and I are in the same boat. The benchmark that we have to have is to see the Redeemer the way Job saw his Redeemer. We have not gone through what Job has gone through. We have not even gone a little bit, 1% of what Job has gone through sometimes. And yet, we complain. We complain. When death came to his life, when his wife said, "You die," and persecute him, his friends will persecute him. He was looking for a Redeemer who will compassionately come before him and say, "It's okay. Do not worry. It's okay." You know, sometimes somebody comes and sits down beside you and say, "It's okay." That comforts your heart, soothes your heart. Your spirit man rises up when you're downtrodden. Jesus is that same Redeemer who will not throw stones at him. Who will not cast a stone and tell him, "Okay, you are the one who did these things. You are a failure in life. You have condemned, you're condemned." No, Jesus came to give life, not to condemn. Amen? He came to give life, not to condemn. When his friends were condemning him, were telling him that you are being too righteous, there must be something wrong in you. That is why God allowed this to happen. His wife says, "You're a hopeless fellow, go and die." But at that point of time, he found this Redeemer who is compassionate to him. Come and sit down and say, "We don't worry. Just hold on. Hang on there, I'm here with you." How many times we need somebody like that? Sometimes we have people around, but deep inside us, that is sometimes hollow. Hollow. I was one of them. Who dare not cry? Who ran very strong inside. But inside, hollow. And a time will come when somebody comes and tells you, and holds your hands and tells you, "It's okay." You might hold on to your tears for a while. You'll go to the toilet and start crying. There is this one. He doesn't care wherever it is. This Redeemer who lives comes and all the time consoles you and be compassionate towards you. He's not the accuser. He's the defender of you who comes against you. Amen. The accuser is the devil. He's the defender. He's standing right in front of God and you. And he says, "No, he's not accusing. I'm standing here with him, within the devil and him, within us. There is one person, that's Jesus Christ." Amen? So all accusation he has taken away from us. There's only one person we know, that Redeemer. He was looking for that Redeemer. He was looking for a Redeemer who had this capability to overcome everything. Who was that only one Redeemer who can overcome everything? Jesus Christ. He can overcome death. This man Job was in the midst of a place where he was about to die. In his mind, in his heart, and his friends, all of them know that he's going to die. But he needed somebody from death come out and say, "No, you will live. Because I live." The only person who can say that is Jesus Christ. "Because I live, you can live." He was looking at a Redeemer who is so powerful, who can overcome death. Amen. Amen. So what happens to all of us now? After the cross, after the third day, on the cross, Jesus took away our sins. On the cross, he nailed our sins. From the tomb, what did he do? He made us overcomers. From the tomb, he made us overcomers. From the tomb, he became victorious, and we made us victorious too. There are many times in our life, we find that things are not working in our lives. Today is very special for us as we remember Resurrection Sunday. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 14, the first, second part of it. It's a long one. Second part of it. "That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, That is the devil. Who is the one who had the power of death? The devil. He destroyed that power of the death of devil when he died on the third day when he rose again. Amen. On the third day when he rose again, he has overcome that power. And that power belongs to us. I read the scriptures now. Go and tell my brethren that I'm going to my Father and your Father. We believe that word. We trust that word. We know that word comes from the mouth of God. If this man should be also for us. That since he came, overcame power of death, devil, the devil is under our feet now. The power, he is cut off. He has destroyed it. He has no more teeth to bite us. He's like a lion or a tiger making noise without teeth. You can put your hand inside the mouth and come out. He can't bite you. He can't hurt you. Right? He's making so much a noise, but he can't do anything to you. That's the power. I want you to imagine. I want you to put in your mind that today, God is speaking to us and saying, I've destroyed the powers of the demon, of the devil. The one who holds the power of death. I've destroyed him. And I've given this destruction power to you and I. To everyone who believes in him, he's given this power. So only person who can redeem now at this moment, the person who is sitting down there, is about to die, is in the fear of death. The only one who can come and redeem is the one who has already killed the power of death. Amen. Jesus Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate, what are we supposed to do? Lord, you have already nailed all my sins. When I came, took salvation. When I came as salvation, Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. And I believe that you, Lord, you have already cleansed my sins. I put all my sins at the foot of a cross. Sometimes we go through problems in our lives. We still have habitual sins. We still have things that we can't control our lives. But God is asking us today, come back to me as the way you came on salvation day. Every time you come back to me, I will give it to you. The new freshness. I will mold you to be a better person. As long as you recognize your fault. Many years back, a few years back, there was a pressure to me to bring a pastor into this church. To preach in this church. I refused. The Spirit of God was not happy with me that I should bring that person inside here. It was sad after some time what I hear. But Spirit of God has already warned me at that time. Amen? So God will warn you to not to do things. So God will also give you the conviction not to do the habitual things that we are supposed to do. We are supposed to be a new person, a victorious person out of the tomb of Christ. If we are victorious, we can still overcome the things that we hold on to us in our life. We can still overcome it. Could be anything. As God is showing me, I can tell you some of the things. Pornography. Addiction. Things are secret addictions. Things of lies and deception. Things of pretension. False mask that we wear. All this can be put down at the foot of the cross. He said, Lord, I want to come and submit this to you today, Lord. And I want a new person today. That you are a victorious God. You showed us the way to victory. And I want that victory today, Lord Jesus. And we can have it. I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters. We can fool any one of us in the world. But we cannot fool Christ Jesus. We cannot fool the Spirit of God. He exposes at the right time, at the right time season. Sometimes, as a prophet, I don't speak it out. I will pull the person to the right side and tell them. Sometimes, by speaking up, even in Penang the other day, if I would have spoken up, the marriage would have broken that day. And I pray today, we as Christians should rise up above all this. We should rise up above all this. That's why we are called to be a Christian. That's why we are called to be the brother of Jesus Christ. That we'll have the character of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, in Romans 8:37 says this. I promised you my message will be short, okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
How many of you are about to sleep? Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I want all of you to read this together with me. Can all of you read? Are you there? Can you put it up, brother? Can you read it out loud? Read it again loud. 1, 2, 3. It is the love that went up on the cross. It's that love that went up on the cross. It's pure love, agape love, it went up on the cross. It's not that filial love that we have for each other. It's that agape love went up on the cross so that we may live. He has got to live today so that we will live. Death is not a condemnation. It was no more a castration about you were cast out. Death was a condemnation before. After Christ, death is no longer condemnation, but it's not a lot of sending you away. But it's a continuation of a new life. If we believe in that new life, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. We can be conquerors of the things that we cannot conquer in our flesh, in our mind, in our heart, in the things that we do, what we say. We can conquer it if we believe that you can conquer. Brothers and sisters, I remember there was a song, If You Believe, a motivational song. I don't know who's the singer. And I know whenever there was a motivational, when I do seminar last time in the world, they will play it out. If you believe, if only we believe, you can do all things. That is psychoing up, you know. This is not psychoing up. It's by led by the Spirit of God. That's the difference between psychoing up with mind control than being in the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So when the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the conqueror, the overcomer, He comes inside you and heals you and brings you and leads you, He will definitely, surely will come to a time where He will take away over everything and you'll be free from everything else. He will bring us to that perfection that He wants it to be. Let's allow Him to do that. Let's allow Him to do that. Today's day, as we remember, it's a resurrection Sunday, that we are resurrected as a new person, not as an old person. We come up as a new person. We resurrect as a new person today. Let's renew our baptismal vows the time we made. Yes, Lord, when I went into the water, I'm dead with you. My old man is dead. When I come out, I'm a new man today. Today I'm resurrected, Lord Jesus, with you. As we remember, we will not follow the world, but we will follow your word. Amen? We'll follow His word. His word is a promise. His word is alive. His word will change. His word will do its purpose for each individual of us. If God is going to release you into certain things in life, He will do something into your life and release you into the things that you are capable of doing for the kingdom of God. If something is holding you, if there is pride, if there is arrogance, there is things that is disobedience, then it will not work. God has got to deal with that before He releases you into the ministry that you are going to be. As I told you, I was a little bit not well at the time in my heart. And I went and prayed for this man. He is speaking to me nicely, but the other hand went up. So this demon was speaking to his body. So we must be right before God. And it will be right before God so that everything will come under us. Every situation will submit to us, not they come over us. Situation should not come over us. Problems should not come over us. They should submit to us. The only way to submit is to be quiet for a while in the presence of God, and everything else will be well. Believe me, I've done it many times because I'm a very uncontrollable person last time. Today I'm able to submit because I was embarrassed in front of people for not submitting. Brothers and sisters, everyone will come to a point that God will deal with us. But I pray it will be gracious in life. That God is very gracious and merciful. That He will bring us to that point of His perfection in our lives. Amen? Amen. Today's celebration should be towards the victorious perfection God is going to bring in our life. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Let's bow. Father, we just want to thank You for Your only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. our Lord and our Savior. Father, we can come and call you Father because your only Son, Jesus Christ, he saw what you did and he did it here on earth. He heard what you spoke. You spoke on earth. Here we are, Lord Jesus. Father, we submit ourselves to you, Father, today. That we want to experience this power of your resurrection today in our lives. That everything in us will resurrect to your perfection. That everything in us will submit to you today. That everything in us will come before you and bow down before you. Oh, Father. Oh, gracious Father. We submit our lives to you, Father God. Help us. We will be an instrument for your kingdom's glory. Help us today to become overcomers and conquerors in you, Lord Jesus. For everything that we are of you. We live for you. And we want to do things through you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless our families, especially those who do not know you, Lord. That our lifestyle, our way of speaking, the way that we are in you, will bring forth, Lord, the mighty correction in their lives. And they will be drawn towards you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, today, Father God. That everyone who do not know you, Lord, Father God, in our family life, touch them. Touch them. And I pray they will accept you as their personal Savior. And they can take pride like Job did today. He took pride in you, Lord. It's my Redeemer. For as long as my Redeemer lives, I will live. I will live under his wing. I will live in his sight. I will live by his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.